On the line is the founder of Bring Them Light, Lihi Gilha, who's also been a clinical psychologist for 20 years. Lihi, thank you so much for joining us on The Home Run. Your project is beautiful. There's something very defiant, almost sacred, in choosing to remember so deeply when the world sometimes wants to move on. Why do you think people are so quick to forget?
Hi, firstly, thank you for having me. It's lovely to speak also with where I grew up. I grew up in South Africa for 19 years of my life, and I also did all my degrees in South Africa, so it's always nice to be interviewed with home.
Where in South Africa are you from?
Joburg.
Joburg. All right.
Yeah.
So why are people so quick to forget?
I think people are quick to forget because it's almost like a coping mechanism. It's too hard to dive into it. People don't want to stay in a depressive state for too long. They need to hold on to some form of hope. And then I think people struggle with trying to hold a duality between hope and loss. And I think Israel is a state that has endured so much loss and so much trauma that it's almost like, almost like second skin they've developed in a way.
How did the idea for this project come about?
Well, when the 7th of October happened, I was in absolute shock. I was born here, but I grew up in South Africa, and I came back here to serve the army, and I left after 2.5 years. And for me, you know, Israel and the army and the state of Israel, that was the one definitive safe space that you have. That's where, as a Jew, you're safe. And that all crashed. That was, I was mortified. And I think it took me about 3 weeks to kind of get out of it. And then I had the images of Naama Levy, which thank God was returned, Shani Look, and all the horrors started coming out. I felt that the media was, you know, showing all these images and we don't know them. And I was very, very worried that it was going to be, you know, let's tuck it underneath the, sweep it underneath the rug, because we don't want to remember things like that. And this is where I've been kind of, for the past, since November 2023, I've been advocating against forgetting. And so I didn't want them to be forgotten. And I felt that we don't know their names, we don't know their faces, we don't know their life stories, and we owe it to them and their families to really know who they were. And from there it came, from that basis of, I know we have a tendency to forget. I know we want to, you know, make this as if it never happened, but we can't, because what happened here is honestly unfathomable.
You've created over 250 personal tributes. How do you even begin to carry the weight of those stories, the heartbreak, but also the love?
Well, actually, it's 276 now. I think I focus on different elements of it. Firstly, I think it's really important to know who they were. So I try and connect with their families on a level whereby I really bring them to light and to life. And I think that the reaction that I get from the parents or from the families or from the partners really gives a sense of what I'm doing is really purposeful, and therefore from that I don't know if it would be right to say that it motivates me, because I'm motivated from a place of love, because all of this came from such a place of hate. And that's actually what I want to put out there. So I carry it by balancing these two places, like this immense pain, but at the same time having the, like, I don't know, it's like this deep yearning inside that we need to remember them. We need to remember them with love. We need to remember who they were. We need to let their families feel that they will not be forgotten.
One of your posts says, "I don't tell you how they died. I tell you how they lived." Now, that's so powerful. I know there's many stories, but can you share one story that stayed with you in a special way?
Well, there are honestly so many. I think that's something that this project has taught me is how great our internal capacity for love and admiration grows, because the more stories I tell, the more they are internalized and I hold them inside. I think that one that stands out for me most predominantly, and it's from the beginning, is Anil Shapiro, who was in the Megunit in, it's known as the Bluebird Megunit, whereby they were, I mean, it's one of the most horrific, all the Megunit, what they went through. Megunit is like a shelter where they found themselves trying to hide because they thought that from the rockets, that's in Israel, that's where you usually go with their rockets, you go into like a shelter. No one ever thought that what would happen, that it would turn into a death trap, whereby terrorists would come and throw grenades in and set them on fire and burn them alive and kill them and then take hostages. I mean, the Megunit, or the Bluebird Megunit, is from where Hirsch was kidnapped. And he's braver. There's something about this man that he stepped inside and he said, I'm going to do everything that I can to protect you. And he wasn't in duty, and he took it upon himself to catch the grenades. And he caught 7 grenades that were thrown inside. And the 8th one, they actually threw in they shot in an RPG. And because I've transcribed the whole events of that shelter, what happened there, because one of the reporters there, it was one reporter by the name of Ayelet, she immediately put on her phone and she recorded for 3 hours what they endured.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear saying "Oy lo," which is "Oh no," and then it blows up and it kills him right away. And then that's when they got inside and they took the hostages and they took Hirsch with his arm that was blown off. And what this man did, this bravery that this man did, and he was also so talented as well. He was a singer. He wrote so many songs. He was an artist. And he's one of the stories, but there are honestly so many stories of phenomenal, beautiful souls. I think that what characterizes these people there's a lot of things that characterize them, but there's something about the purity, about the quality of love that they have, about their compassion, about caring for one another, about the friendship that they had. It's just that there's a lot of commonalities between all these people that I've told their story so far.
Leahy, while I listen to you, I'm thinking that remembering is a kind of resistance. Do you feel that what you're doing is a kind of quiet protest, a way to reclaim their dignity?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, I mean, I think that people might not be understanding what I'm doing. And I know that my brother says to me, but Lee, you need to understand that it's part of people like move on. They need to move on. And they will be forgotten. And so I'm kind of very much adamant on no, we cannot. And I need to be their voice and I need to tell the truth. And that's why I even find myself correcting on Instagram, because I mean, what I also say is that, yeah, go ahead.
No. What else do you want to say is?
What I was going to say is that I also find myself advocating on Instagram. I mean, I'm new. I've never made videos in my life up until the 7th of October. I've got my private clinic, and that's what I've been doing ever since I made Aliyah to Israel. And then with the 7th, then this Bring Them Light was created, and I've learned to create the videos as I go along. And so then when I see like posts that are going on in Instagram that are saying the incorrect facts, then I correct them and I advocate and I argue. And I mean, I've had people like when They spread that this one girl, Karina, was murdered in this video, and I rectify them and I say to them, no, it's not true. She was actually murdered this way. And then there becomes this argument, what does it matter? And so I'm very much advocating their voice, and I'm very much wanting the truth to be told. But it's a definite resistance.
Lihi, obviously your videos are crafted with so much care. How have people, both in Israel and abroad, besides your brother, responded to them?
If I could share the amount of positive feedback that I get, and I think that it's visible on the Instagram page, around the work that I do is so enriching and so accurate, and it's really educative. And that they didn't know the people, and because of the videos, they're getting to know the people. These videos are having a huge impact. They're having a huge impact on our followers. They're having a huge impact on the families. I mean, the families, if I had to share the responses that I get from the families over the videos, it brings one to tears. That's the truth. But the reaction is very, very good. Obviously, there's also, you know, the anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
But a way to not allow them to access the page.
I mean, I'm getting tears while I listen to you. I wanted to ask you one last question. I think many people in South Africa, many of our listeners around the world, struggle with it as well. How can we, those of us who are listening and are far away, how can we help keep this light burning?
Okay. Well, firstly, it's to follow the Instagram account, because that way you'll get to know their stories. It's to share their stories. And it's to, I mean, I think that's the first start is the Instagram, because that's where you get to see them. I'm also working on a website where there everything will also be there more easily accessible. And it goes back to sharing their videos, spreading their light. Again, if there are any people, I don't know who's listening, but if there's any people that want me to speak or to prepare stuff that you can post, and you can add, and you can kind of, when I say advertise, what I mean by advertise, I'm meaning from a point of spread this project, then just reach out to me and I will gladly do that.